Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
It's been a while since I had an opportunity to speak with you all and kind of just share what God has placed on my heart. I'm actually pretty excited to do that. I don't get an opportunity to do that. I was telling somebody I was really kind of nervous to be up here. In my job, and you know, I'm a principal of a large school, and I was telling somebody, but I don't teach anymore. I don't stand up in front of large groups of people and actually teach. I kind of more direct people. I meet one-on-one with people. I meet with small groups. And all we do really do is think about some of the next steps that they really have to take within the education, curriculum, whatever it might be. So I'm really good at group thinking. But as far as having an opportunity to be up in front of people, I found that, oh my gosh, I haven't done this in a while. I don't even create my own professional development for my school. We get a whole group together, and we kind of brainstorm about how to do that. Oh, am I going to step on it? About how to do it. We just kind of group think and get a plan together. So I do have to say I am just a little nervous. Title of this sermon this morning is Stinking Thinking. And we're going to talk a lot about your thought life. We're going to talk a lot about what is actually going on in the gray matter between your two ears. Because there's a lot taking place up there, and there's a lot taking place already just this morning. And some of you have only been up a couple of hours. Some of you are just now waking up, right? But you've been awake for a while, and there's a ton of stuff going on in between your ears. And it reminds me back to when I was a kid, when sometimes I didn't think right. Still not thinking right sometimes. But I remember this one time in elementary school, actually even before elementary school, my mom was a PTA president. And wherever my mom went, I went with her. So it was kind of cool. Wherever she went, I went. It was kind of, you know, if there was snacks around, I got snacks because that's where mom went and she was putting snacks out. It was playtime in the middle of school. Bill got more playtime, but it was just great. It was a neat opportunity. And I remember this one time getting kind of bored. Mom was doing something, running a meeting, and I was just bored. So I wandered out onto the playground, and I saw this cool chain being linked from one pole to the next pole. And I thought, that's pretty cool chain. And I thought, I wonder if I could balance on it. Pretty smart kid. I can kind of get up there and balance on it, right? So I put one leg on, and you know, it starts to wobble. And I'm thinking, nah, that's not too bad. I think if I could jump up on it, I'll get one leg to start to go, and then I'll get the other one, and I'll balance out. You guys can already think. Great thinking, huh? Pretty dang smart, right? Kind of some, you know, hindsight. That's some stinking thinking going on, right? So then all of a sudden, you know, I remember doing it. I remember the whole thing. Got the one leg up. I went to jump on, and what do you think happened? This leg goes that way. This face decided to meet the concrete. And it wasn't just like back then, if somebody had a video, it would have been pretty cool because it probably would have been slow motion. And my head, my face, this part right here hits the concrete. What do you think happens? Poosh, blood just like everywhere, right? And we know about the face, right? There's capillaries everywhere. So we know that blood just going to go poosh, 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 right? Spurt everywhere. And so I actually bite through my lip. I remember going to the hospital thinking, oh, crying. I remember the whole feel. Remember that buzz feel? When things can happen on your face, you kind of have that numb, buzzing kind of feel on your face. I remember blood just being everywhere. And I remember, it's kind of funny, hindsight, but they took me from my mom because they thought, first of all, that my mom did it. They couldn't believe that some kid would try to balance on a chain, right? They didn't think anybody would be thinking like that, right? But hey, again, that shows you my early on and my stinking thinking. And then I think about my kids at my school. And I think about sometimes just looking at some of the things they do. And you just want to go, what are you thinking? Right? My kids, we have a brand new two-story building. We have these huge, long stairs. I mean, they're really tall stairs. But they're almost a straight shot. Then there's a little curve. And then they're down. You guys can already see it, can't you? Right? They get on the top of the stairs, and it is steep. And they just start cooking on the stairs, and they're riding it on their butts, and they're going down. When they get to the bottom, What are you thinking? You got lucky. You fall this way, you're falling all the way down. Head cracks open. It's not going to stay together. Right? It's like a watermelon. And you just wonder, what are you thinking? Because there's something going on, right? It's not like they're just not thinking. They're thinking, this looks like fun, right? This is going to be a ride of my life or the end of my life. That thought never came, right? But what are they thinking? I know it's great, like when you're driving around Southern California, you're thinking all the time, what is that guy thinking? What is that girl thinking? Well, maybe they're not thinking, but they're thinking something. Something is taking place, right? So I love a couple quotes. I love quotes. And I hopefully you can see it. I'm getting kind of old. I'm waiting to get the transition glasses where I can like read below because I can no longer read things up close. Anyways, so Ralph Waldo Emerson said, beware of what you set your minds on because that you surely will become. Beware of what you set your mind on because that you surely will become. So you think about what you're putting your mind on. What are you thinking about all day long? Because then you have to begin to ask yourself the question, who are you becoming based upon what you're thinking about? Think about that for a second. What are you putting your thoughts on? Because who are you becoming? Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you change the world. Change your thoughts and you change the world. In education, the big thing right now is where is your mindset at? As a student, where is your mindset at? There's a study by Carol Dweck, and Carol Dweck says people have two kinds of thoughts, mindsets. One mindset, they say it's a fixed mindset that I can never grow and learn and become anything else. The other mindset says I have a growth mindset, that through trial and error and working on things and trying harder, I can become better and better and better and better. The whole concept is basically, did I know how to ride a bike from the beginning? No, I had to learn how to do it. Through trial and error, I got better and better and better and better. Kids in poor communities have what we call a fixed mindset. They don't think that they can get smarter. They think they have everything, all the brains that they have, that's it. They're not ever going to progress. And we're trying to change that mindset by helping them see the growth mindset so that you, in turn, can change the world. So when you think about your life, you think about your thoughts. Are your thoughts changing the world, or is the world changing you by what you're thinking about? Then Mark Twain said, what a wee little part of a person's life are his acts and his words. His real life is led in his head and is known to none but himself. All day long, the mill of his brain is grinding. Some of us, we can see the smoke coming out, right? And his thoughts, not those other things, are his history. So this morning, oh, I got one more. I like this one. Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work in the world, which is probably why so few people engage in it. Right? People just not thinking. So check this out. I was telling you this morning, think about all the thoughts that you've had this morning. You've had 10,000, you think about 10,000 separate thoughts each day. That's a lot. 10,000 thoughts each day, 3.5 million thoughts a year. Over 2,000 separate thoughts since you got up out of bed this morning. No wonder why some of you are tired already, right? Your brain's just going. Never turn it off. And I have one calculation that's in here wrong. So 8,000 thoughts before you hit the sack tonight. And if you live to be 75, you will have not 26 million, you'll have, I wrote it down because I calculated it wrong, 262 million thoughts by the time you reach 75 years old. There's a lot of thinking going on, right? And it's kind of back to, what are you thinking about? We're going to pop into Philippians verse 4 today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take a look at it. We're going to look at Philippians 4 and only looking at a couple of verses, and it's just kind of a real pop-in, and then we're going to kind of add a couple of other verses. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. God, I pray I get out of the way. I pray that, your word stands alone, and that your word is the one that dwells in our heart and causes the change, that supernatural change that takes place in each one of us, God. So God, I pray our hearts are open. I pray we're able to capture our thoughts today and focus on your word, not mine. In your name we pray. Amen. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, that's Paul speaking, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So I love that opening of that, I love verse 8 where it says, finally, brothers. So it's like he's got a message to kind of sit down with you. And I always love that picture because I think of him sitting down, you know, not at Taco Bell, but at some fast food joint, right? And we're sitting down and he's saying, there's some important words. I've been talking about a whole bunch of things in my letter to the Church of Philippi. And I, you know, I'm thanking you for all these things. I'm also giving you some commands. There's some things that I want you to do. But finally, I don't want you to miss these last few words. And I love that because when they say finally, you got to kind of stop and you think, there's a message in there for me. He wants me to do something with the words that he's going to give me. And so he says, finally, my brothers and sisters. And I love that because that's a term of endearment, isn't it? He's trying to get to the heart and say, I really want you to pay attention to these words. So then in my mind, as I'm beginning to think, it's like, okay, let's open up and let's listen. Let's put something aside, all things aside, and let's focus on this. Whatever is true. And he starts on a whole series of some thoughts. Because he must be thinking the people at this church are having a difficult time thinking about things, right? They're distracted. There's so many things coming on. The great philosopher, Chuck Kurtz, the other day told me something. He said, men think in waffles. There's all these different pockets. And we're able to think in compartments. And then he said, the ladies, again, great philosopher, Chuck Kurtz said, women kind of think like spaghetti. They think all over. I don't know if that's true or not. But there are some valuable words here that says for us to focus on some things. Because there are some thoughts that are taking place at this church that he wants to help them think things differently, right? Think about things a little bit differently. He says, I want you to think about whatever is true. First thing that comes to mind, what is something that you would think about that is true? God's word. God's word. What else? That's the biggest, right? What else? People are made in his image. It's like, let's get into scripture and let's think and focus on things that are true, right? But let that, the guiding rod or the direction be based in scripture, right? Let it be based in that as we look and think about things that are true. Things that are true. What does God say about each one of us? Who are we according to what God says? That's a whole study about what God says. I'm a child of God. I'm precious in his sight, right? Those are the things that he wants us to begin to think on. Think on those things. When's the last time throughout a day at work you've slowed down long enough to at least think about things that are true? Man, when I look at my schedule, I'm a part of a program at my school called Breakthrough Coaching. My schedule is not my own. My secretary fills out every 30 minutes of my time. And so I am like, I'm moving from meeting to meeting to meeting to discussion to you name it. I'm going everywhere. And I'm guilty of this. And one thing I love about teaching the word is that sometimes this message is like for the person who's teaching it, right? And I know there's times like I go through my day and it's done. I get there, I feel like I just got there and it's over. And I'm like, where did the day go? My thought life was everywhere else, but on truth, grounded in the word. That's where I know I want to be. And when I read Paul's word, that's where we need to be. You need to be thinking about whatever is true. Then he goes on and he says what? Whatever is noble. Whatever is noble or honorable, some of your Bibles say. What is noble and honorable? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, kind to others. Okay. Thinking about things that are honorable. Noble. Isn't it interesting that we kind of have an idea, but yet nobody wants to say what it might be? Because are we unsure? Okay. It's interesting. As I begin to read each one of these words, who is it pointing to? It's pointing to Jesus, isn't it? It's kind of pointing to God as that path, right? That if my brain is focused on those things, then I'm focusing and my brain is where it wants to be or where God's asking it to be, right? So self-sacrifice. Say again. Honorable to self-sacrifice. So again, it's back to Jesus, isn't it? It's how he lived his life, right? Those are the things that he wants me to focus on. He goes on in the things that are right. What are the things that are right? I'm taken to my standing with him. I am now what? Righteous in his sight, right? Not by anything that I have done, right? But by him giving me a right standing in front of him. That's kind of where I go. But think, what other things are right? What else? Conscious of what the Holy Spirit tells you is right. Say again. I can't hear the last part. The Bible. It's kind of interesting. We're kind of going back to one theme again, aren't we? Back to Scripture, basing it on Scripture. And I tell you what, back to the theologian Chuck Kurtz, always talking about hiding the Word of God in your heart. And I know we're all talking about that, but hiding the Word in your heart. Why? Because if I hide it in my heart, where are my thoughts and my meditations going to go? It's going to go right back to God, right? Busy day, busy life, talking to people, going, directing, on a business call, all those different kinds of things. But if I've got that word hidden in my heart, what's going to be calling me back to that line? The word, right? And it's going to help me focus on things that are honorable, things that are pure, things that are right, right? And he goes on again. Things that are, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, things that are lovely. I think about the conversion of people, right? I think about when people who have walked in destruction and in bad things, and then I watch God just change their life. You talk about things that are lovely. That is something to me that is lovely. When I look at creation, does creation not sing out his name and sing out praises? Have you guys seen the new pictures recently of Yosemite and Yosemite Falls? Holy cow. They're saying it's the largest fall that they've had in recorded history. It's amazing. But who did that? There's nobody up top just turning this spigot on, right? No, that's God. And I think about that's lovely. But it's even more lovely when I think about somebody's conversion or when you're sharing the word of God with somebody and they're beginning to wrestle with their sin and they're beginning to wrestle and see who God really is. So it's kind of interesting because he's asking us to take our focus off of what the world is saying are these things And what he is saying are these things. Because if you spend all your time in the news, what is the picture of the news? Isn't it the opposite of all that? Right? There's anger. There's frustration. Right? There's bitterness. There's all of this other stuff, the opposite stuff of this, right? And it's God's trying to say, hey, move your thought life. Move your thought life. Move your thought life. Let this be the theme of your thought life. Things that are admirable, it continues to go on. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I love that. What is praiseworthy? I think about brand new babies. It's still an amazing miracle. I heard somebody say that, oh, a baby's born every day. That's not a miracle. Well, they obviously have not had a kid, right? Because it is a stinking miracle. Then it's a miracle to actually get to 18 or 20, right? It is a miracle. And I think about that as being like God's creation again. Isn't that excellent? Right? Isn't that like amazing? I'm such a simple guy. I look at a tree and I get excited. Because trees are, they're amazing. Like I got this great maple. What's my tree? Liquid amber. I got this cool liquid amber. Every day I come home from work, I talk to my tree. Because it's excellent, because God made it, I didn't. And I get to watch this tree just like thrive every day. And like when it just started to get all of its leaves, I was like, Karen, it started to leave. Look, there's leaves on it. And I get excited, but it puts me back to thinking about who? Thinking about God. And thinking the right way, right? Instead of all the crud that's happening in the world and all my woes and all of my insecurities. Because what I'm fighting is all of my fears, all of my insecurities, all the things that I'm trying to juggle to make sure that things don't fall apart, right? I'm trying to be a great principal. I'm trying to like do all these great things at my school. And all the data's coming in and saying things are going this way. And there's a lot of stress, right? Some of us are trying to get into careers, right? We've got families, we've got kids going off to college and even coming up in the high school. It's like, oh, how do I get them all these just places? Whew, that's a lot of work. My brain hurts, right? And if you're like me, I come home from work, I put the TV on because I say, I deserve a break. Anybody ever done that? I deserve to turn my brain off. It's not really off, right? It's not really off. Because you're taking in everything that you're seeing. And you are thinking about some of the things that you are seeing. Right? Man, I'm guilty of it. I love it. My favorite position, feet up, head back, remote control in my hand. And ask Karen. There's lots of time I'm saying, man, I deserve this. I've worked 8 hours. We all have. Right? But that's not what God wants. Talking to me. I need to change some things and get my focus, right? It's so easy to lose that focus and to lose that thinking. But I want to spend time thinking about things that are excellent so that in turn I turn back to my God and I am falling at his throne on my knees, praising him for the good that he's doing. Even when there are struggles, he's still God and it's still good, right? Even when it's difficult. And that's like a whole different talk. Because that's hard to keep your mind and your thinking focused on him. But if you're grounded where? In the word, you can get through that. Right? I think about, some of you know Cheryl Collins. I don't know if you remember that name. Great guy used to be at our church, Bob Collins. He passed away about a year ago. And I've watched her on Facebook. But I'll tell you what. She's doing good. Because she's taken her thoughts and putting them on God. But she'll be honest with you. She'll tell, I'm struggling today, but I know my God is good. This is so hard, but I know my God is good. Because she's taking the thought and she's putting it back
where it needs to be, on things that are pure, things that are true, things that are right. And then in verse 9, he moves on to verse 9, and I love this part too. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. So he tells the church, hey, I've been with you. You've watched, you've been reading my letters. I'm being recklessly focused on God. I'm living radically for him. And what I want you to do is to put it into practice. Put it into practice. On my campus, sixth period. If you've ever been on a campus, sixth period. You see all of your athletes everywhere they're supposed to be except for practice. I herd cats every day, sixth period. All over the place. I run into football players. I run into badminton players. I run into volleyball players. And they're everywhere they're supposed to be except for practicing the sport that they went out for. And so when the game comes, how do you think we look? We look pretty bad. We play against people like Pauly. We play people against like Milliken. And we look horrible. Why? Because they're not practicing what their coach is telling them to do. And I love it because Paul is saying, hey, I'm doing this. I'm the example. Look at me. But I want you to put it into practice. So what practice means, we actually have to do something, right? Right? You ever heard the football analogy that there's 22 people in dire need of a break and there's 50,000 fans in dire need of exercise? Right? Sometimes our churches, we're in need of some exercise, aren't we? Right? We're in need of getting out there and living our life for God. Because 6 days a week, we're working, going to school, taking care of kids, dealing with all that other stuff that's taking over our thought lives, right? And then it's game time. We get in the church, we're like, all right, yep, I got my Bible, I got my verses, I'm good to go. I'm Joe, spiritual scripture guy. But that's not what he wants. He wants every day, right? Every day. Take your thought and think on what? Whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is right. That's what he wants. So it's like this practice every day. It's hard though, isn't it? It is so hard. I get it. I completely get it. But if we don't rally around each other and say, hey, let's be committed to practicing this every day, and then calling each other, living life with one another, and helping us along that road, it's going to be difficult. But we should buddy up with people. Call each other. How are you doing today? What's your thought life today? What kind of difference are you making today? That's what God's calling us to do. And to put it into practice. We got to be practicing it. And then the latter part, and the God of peace will be with you. I love that. Because I'm not walking this alone. My God is with me. I did youth ministry for 15, 16 years. And that was the one thing I always made sure that I ended almost every message with, is that you need to understand that God is with you. That God is with you. And that's the promise, that God is with us, right? But sometimes we get that stinking thinking. We've got what God wants, and we got what we want, right? And what we want, sometimes we try to play that game because it's all up here, right? It's all up there. And we continue to have that stinking thinking. Check this verse out. Proverbs verse 23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when you think about the heart, they're talking about your mind, your soul, right? That everything is going to flow for that. Above all else, guard that heart. Everything you do flows from it. So it's that inner man. How are you feeding that inner man? What's going on inside of that, right? Because you need to guard it. And in Mark 7, it says this: he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile person. So it's almost like a gut check. I want you to take a look at what's happening inside of you. What's happening in your brain, in your thought life? That's my house. I like my house. Cute little house. My dad designed it, so I'm really proud of that my dad was the architect. It's pretty cool. So it's an honor to my dad. I'm the only child that had the opportunity to do that. I love my house. I love coming home to my house every day. In fact, there are my officer that is the officer at my school. She's an LBPD, and she's on my school. And she told me the other day, because we forgot to put our candles on in the front of the house, and she told me, you always have to have your candles on in front of your house because it looks awesome. I love my house. I love coming home every day. And you probably do to your house, too. You probably love coming home. There's just something special about being at your house. If you look at the top, it says, what's that smell? So it said, there was a smell happening in my house the other day. So here's my backyard. So I thought, okay, there's a smell coming. So it's probably coming from the backyard someplace. So what's the smell? It's lingering. Oh, we didn't want to go there yet. But then I thought, could it be those goats? So go to the goats. Could it be them? Because they do smell. And yes, I do have two goats. We have two goats. They do smell. But that wasn't the smell. So you look back a couple of days. So about a week and a half ago, walked in that front door, like I said, and it just reeked. And I thought, oh my gosh, what happened? And it was a skunk smell. And about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we had skunks. And I researched and I figured out how you can get rid of skunks. Because in Long Beach, you can't just kill them. You have to trap them. They're not going to come out and trap them for you because they are an endangered species within Long Beach. Who figures that? God, you're endangered. Same guy that can't get a cat from Long Beach. Anyways, different story. So it smells like a skunk. So I jump into Skunk Dad. I know how to get rid of these guys. You go down the hardware store, and you buy mothballs. You put mothballs in some kind of mesh, whatever, and you throw it under your house. I was on it. So we happen to have like two holes in the front of my house in the inside that I can pop the mothballs in there. Popped them in there because that's where it's coming from. Then I thought, okay, maybe it's coming from the deck because that's where they came from last time. So I'm crawling underneath the deck and I'm throwing mothballs everywhere. And so now my house smells like one big mothball and skunk. So then I read somewhere else, pour white vinegar into a bowl, put it throughout your house. And you can ask David and Samantha, there's like vinegar bowls all over the house. Vinegar, I guess, captures the smell. Who knew? I didn't know that. So I've got vinegar, I've got mothballs, and I've got skunk. It smells. Skunk smell starts to dissipate. We're happy. And then like 3 days in, it's back. And it's worse. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're still there. Then Karen walks outside again, and she says, oh my goodness, it smells like death. So now I have death in the backyard, and I've got skunk in the house. So I don't know what to do. I'm opening my deck, and I have a little hole. I'm looking around. I don't see death down there. And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? And I just tell Karen, we're just going to wait it out. Because that's what we did the kind of last time for some of this. I said, we're just going to wait it out. Well, waiting out became 2 days and 3 days. You guys remember how it got hot last week? Oh, it's horrible. Karen says, enough. Enough. She says, we're going to find somebody to get rid of death and skunk. So Karen found a trapper. Who knew? There's actually somebody somebody in L.A. that'll actually come to your house and look for these animals and take them away. All right. So the guy comes out. And here's what he finds. That is a possum who is decomposing. And if you look at him, there's like these like little maggots all over. But that is death that's taken place. Easy to catch. Okay. That's the death smell. But that's not a skunk. We're like, oh, wait a minute. That's not what else we have in our house. So then the guy looks a little bit further. And this is what he finds. You can barely see it. That is a dead skunk underneath my house. And so what happens is when he starts to decompose and he gets to that little gland with his smelling thing, guess what it does? It erupts. God knows how many glands like that they have. And so every time it gets to one, whatever, and there it goes. Check this out. This is the guy under my house.
Yes, they've been in here tearing stuff up.
Can you hear it?
Piece of tail. Tearing stuff up. Insulation. Skunk in. There's for sure something. Here. It's like a dead skunk for sure. I can't tell if there's something over here, though. But. This will be the third dead animal.
This will be the third dead animal. Holy cow. Three dead animals. So what did I do? I acknowledged that there was a smell. I tried to cover up the smell. We found the smell and eventually removed the smell. How often do we do that with our life? We know that there is a smell. And we know that there's something that has to be changed, but we try to cover it up, don't we? And we know that it could potentially be pretty deep-rooted, but we continue to mask it. And we continue to not deal with the problem. But the problem continues to get worse and get worse and gets worse. Because it's interesting, because Mr. Skunk actually visited us about 3 months ago. And I didn't cover up the hole fast enough. Because I said, I'll get to it. By the time I covered it up, they had built a nest. They had taken up residency in my house. And I did not know this. But because I have one nest, even though I removed that nest, because there's a smell now of nestingness underneath my house, I have now said any other critter that wants to nest in my area, come on, check on in to the Solace Motel. But the analogy is pretty interesting, because what is God asking us to do with that thought life and with things that begin to fester in our life? I tell you what, I love Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's anything grievous way in me, and lead me the way of everlasting. My passion for us all is for us to do that. For us to look at what is there within our life that we may have to call the critter guy, or that we may have to call God, say, God, I need to sit down with you and begin to look at some things in my life that I got to get out. I got to identify the root of bitterness. I got to get rid of anger. I got to get rid of malice, whatever it might be. God, I want that critter gone. But it's got to start with that conversation. God, search me and know my heart. See if there's anything in me that needs to be moved out. And remember, he talked about the practice. He can do it. He can get rid of that stinking thinking that's going on and help change it and help make it absolutely beautiful by his work. Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is a battle that we are in. It's a battle. A battle means it's easy, right? A battle means, hey, I'm just going to eat cupcakes and ding-dongs and we're going to be good. That's not what a battle means. I just finished a book called The Admirals, and it's about the four admirals from World War II. And it's amazing. It's on Nimitz and a couple other guys that I can't, Leahy and a couple other guys that I can't remember right now. But you look at the battle that these guys went into in the Pacific and in the Atlantic, and it looks at all the strategic movement and the military buildup and everything that they had to do. It wasn't easy. There's some work that had to be done to move some stuff out. But the beauty about it is that God comes in and he's with you, right? He says that he is with you because he's in the business of restoration, isn't he? He's in the business of, we have a right standing with him, but we easily can get entangled. And we got to get untangled by him. Romans 12:2 says this, that to do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Paul again is saying, get your mind away from whatever it is that's being the distraction and focus on these things. Then practice them, and the God of peace is with you. He says, he wants you to, you've been, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Change it up. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way I know how to be renewed and change my mind is to put myself here. And to know what my God says about me and what I have. Because again, the great theologian Chuck says, Satan knows what bait to use to get you. Right? He knows. And Chuck always talks in fishing terms. He says, Satan knows the lure to use. Any fishermen out here? You know that you've got to constantly change the bait. Constantly change the lure. But Satan knows exactly how to get you. And exactly how to reel you in and to hook you so that he can put that nest in your house, right? But we want to come alongside God and say, we're going to change that by your spiritual work of transformation, by grounding ourselves in the Word and living our life focused on you. By being transformed by the renewing of our mind that you're beginning to do in us, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect word. Father, I thank you so much for this morning, God. God, my passion is that we'll fall at your feet and we'll just begin to uproot the things that are taking our mind, are taking our thoughts away from being focused on you. But that we'd begin to live with minds that are focused on truth, focused on right, focused on things that are honorable and lovely and praiseworthy, that's where we'll spend our time. God, we thank you for this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.